Hi, friends. I am Vivian McPeak, and this is HempResent. If you have feedback or would like to suggest a topic for HempResent, email me at hempresent@gmail.com. As a successful second-generation California cultivator, Derek Gilman has been breeding and growing exotic sun-grown boutique cannabis for over four decades. Derek's uniquely specialized knowledge in producing high-end cannabis with an innate ability to effectively communicate this knowledge landed him as Director of Cultivation Content at Greenflower Media in 2017. Through his tenure at Greenflower Media, he's been the on-air host, producer, and creator of several popular cannabis programs, such as The Grower's Quest, High Rollers, and Quick Hits, featuring Vanguard cannabis personalities, including Kevin Jodry, Kyle Cushman, Mel Frank, Frenchie Cannoli, and others. His latest role finds him at the head of the council table with some of the cannabis industry's most respected names as curriculum architect and managing director of the Gangier Cannabis Sommelier Certification Program. Over the years, Derek has developed a penchant for elevating his cannabis experience with rare and exquisite smoking implements from the past. Nearly all of the items he employs in his daily joint smoking regimen are at least a century old. I have many questions for him. Welcome, Derek, to Cannabis Radio.
Hey, Vivian. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. There are mornings when I feel a century old, but then I began using cannabis nearly halfway into the last century. How and when were you introduced to cannabis, and what was your initial impression or experience?
Cannabis was... You know, I was born in 1969 to a couple of hippies, and so truth be told, cannabis was in my bloodstream before I was even out of the womb and had feet on the planet. Cannabis has been a part of my life, my upbringing. It's been just ever present. You know, between my folks, their friends, my dad. Was a dealer for many, many years, as well as a cultivator, and so you know, some of my earliest memories, quite literally, are being in a darkened living room, in the smoke circle with my folks and their friends, and just being that link in the chain to help get the joint from one person over to the next as it came around. You know, I'm not pulling a toke at 4 years old, but I was just handing it off to the next person in the circle.
So you literally are a second generation California cultivator.
Yes, this is true. My dad was more of a hobbyist grower. He had three seasons, maybe four seasons, where he did some smaller gardens. Got ripped off two of the 3 or 4 years, and I think weather kind of gave him a hard time on one of them too. But through that process, you know, I was in junior high school at the time when he began his cultivating. And that's when my relationship with the plant really began and really deepened, because just watching him interact with the plants sparked my curiosity. And so I kind of started growing along with him.
You're the managing director. Is it Gangier? I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, Gangier. Unless you're Patrick the Soil King, he calls it Gangier.
Okay. You're the managing director of Gangier Cannabis Sommelier Certification Program. Generally, in your words, what is Gangier all about? What should people know?
Well, as you mentioned in the intro, Gangier is effectively a cannabis sommelier program. And so there's many industries, many gustatory industries, such as wine, coffee, cheese, chocolate, cigars, beer. Each of these industries, and each of these products, the desirability of these products is less dictated by their overall potency and more dictated by how they interact with the senses. You know, for example, the strongest coffee on the planet isn't the most desirable coffee on the planet for many people. The same holds true for alcohol. It's the way that it interacts. It's the appearance. It's the aroma. It's the flavor. it's the ultimate experience that it imparts that dictates that desirability. And the same holds true for cannabis. Cannabis is a bit more complicated than many of these other products, where, beer is something you drink, alcohol is something you drink, cigars is something you smoke. Cannabis can get into your body lots of different ways. You can drink it, you can smoke it, you can eat it, you could put a topical on your body, you could take a tincture. So each of these other industries, wine, coffee, cheese, chocolate, beer, they have trained professionals that assess quality based on standards that quantify the desirability. And these professionals also guide consumers in their product selections based on the consumer's goals, desires, and budget. And so through the Ganja program, we've looked to build the equivalent professional trade certification that they have. In wine, it's a sommelier. In beer, it's called Cicerone. And so through studying those programs, we built our program, Ganja, over a period of about 2.5 years. And we're pretty proud of what we've built.
Tell us about your version of cannabis connoisseurship.
Okay. So cannabis connoisseurship can simply be boiled down into two things. It's being mindful about what you're consuming and how you're consuming it. So what does that mean? In cannabis, what you're consuming could, starts with the genetics, right? What variety are you going to choose to consume? Next, it's who grew it? Where was it cultivated? Who cultivated it? Where was it cultivated? What cultivation methodologies were used to produce this cannabis? Was it indoor grown or outdoor grown? Was it grown organically or with, synthetic fertilizers? And then what form of the cannabis? You can consume, you could smoke flower, you could smoke a concentrate. There's many forms of concentrates, from traditional hashish to rosin to BHO. So that's the form, what you're consuming, being mindful of each of those factors, the variety, where it was grown, how it was grown, and then ultimately how you're going to get it into your body. So, for example, if it's flower, you have lots of choices. You can roll a joint. You can put it into a bong. You could put it into a hookah or a chillum. You could combine it with some other cannabis products. You can combine that flower with some rosin or some traditional hashish. So for me, connoisseurship isn't about being a snob, isn't about having the most expensive, coolest tools to use. Connoisseurship is truly boiled down to being mindful of what you're consuming and how you're choosing to consume it. And then the how you're choosing to consume it, could be all the different tools that I just mentioned. But then the techniques and rituals around each of those tools as well.
Fascinating. We got to go to break here in just a second. But for a long time, beer was just something that you went down, you bought a beer and you drank it. And then craft brewing kind of showed up and became popular. And then all of a sudden, people are starting to really dive deep into the components of beer and kind of approaching it more like wine. The same thing is kind of true for cannabis, right? I mean, for a lot of years and years, you just bought some weed and you smoked it. And now that people are really taking a different look at it. Do you agree?
If you turn back the hands of time and we go back to the 1970s here in the US, you could look at beer, as you just mentioned. You could look at chocolate or coffee.
Right,
Okay? You
right.
went to go
And
buy a beer, you had a choice of about six different varieties. An
yep.
exotic was maybe a Heineken, right?
Well, I got to go to
Coffee
break.
came in a pot.
I got to go to break, Garrick. So hold that thought because I want to pick that up. We'll be right back.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
We're back with Garrick Gilman. Derek, continue on that thought about you just get a joint and you'd smoke it, and now things are really, exploding.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and looking back, a pot of coffee in the 1970s, a cup of coffee came out of a pot that was sitting on a burner that was on there for multiple hours. If you go to get chocolate back then, it was a Hershey's bar, it was a Snickers bar. And now you move forward today, and your example was beer, but the same holds true in beer and wine and chocolate and coffee. Today you can go to any grocery store and they're going to have multiple rows of chocolates you could choose from. Single source, high-end chocolates. Coffee is no longer this pot sitting on a burner. It's all these little coffee shops that have turned up where now people are standing in line and paying, substantial sums of money for a premium cup of coffee. In your example in beer as well, there's tons of microbreweries. For cannabis, unfortunately, the market hasn't fully matured just yet. While cannabis has been around for millennia, for thousands of years, the 100-year pause button that was here through prohibition of cannabis, in the early 1900s, that pause has really stymied the growth and maturation of the cannabis consumer. If you wanted to smoke some, if you were a cannabis consumer in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, you had a very limited selection of what was available to you. You typically had one person that you were getting it from, and that one person may have had one or two varieties.
Yeah, when I was growing up in
So
California
today,
in the
yeah.
early 70s, it was commercial, right? And it was from Mexico, and it was very similar. And then, every once in a while you get some Colombian or some Michoacan or something, but it was usually just this commercial weed until Sinsemilla showed up in the mid to late 70s, and then it's a different world. You know, with wine, there's the bouquet. There's an entire spectrum of assessments that people make when they judge wine. Can you talk about the assessment techniques that you use at Gangier for cannabis?
Absolutely. So we adopted a very similar protocol that they use in the wine industry, and it's based off the interaction with the senses. So in our Gangier systematic assessment protocol, which is in the app form, the app guides you through four different categories of assessment: aroma, appearance, flavor, and experience. Within each of these categories, there are attributes and criteria that get detailed assessment. For example, in appearance.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
First thing we look for is whether or not there's any contaminants in the sample. Cannabis is very sticky. There's lots of opportunities for contaminants to get on cannabis from harvesting through processing, packaging. Beyond the contaminants, we look at the overall trichome coverage. We look at the intactness of those trichomes. A trichome is a stalk with a gland on top. All the magic is in that gland. But with some rough handling, those glands can break off and a good portion of that magic can get lost long before it ever gets to the consumer's hands. So we look at that. We look at the level of trim. We look at the tactile qualities as well. In aroma, we judge the intensity of that aroma. We look to assess the complexity of the aroma. How many layers are present? We look to identify the aroma category that the product falls within. And we have five main aroma categories that we've distilled down: fruit, floral, earth, sweet, and fuel. In the flavor category, we assess the intensity of the flavor, the smoothness of the flavor. We assess the quality of the burn, amongst other things. We have notes in each of these categories that are specific to that category or that sense. And then ultimately, we assess the experience as well, the mental experience, the physical experience, the onset and duration, as well as the intensity. The systematic assessment protocol, once you've gone through an entire assessment through each of those categories, the app will then assign a final score based on a 100-point scale that is identically on par with the 100-point scale used by Wine Enthusiast, one of the more respected wine assessment companies out there.
Fascinating. How about smoking techniques?
Smoking techniques. Well, it all depends on, you know, how you're smoking. So if you're smoking a joint, for example, you want to be mindful of the ignition source, right? So if you're using a Bic lighter, like many people are using when they're smoking joints, that Bic lighter is using a really cheap quality of butane. You could take that Bic lighter and you could hold it underneath a plate, a ceramic plate. Okay,
you'll have
a couple inches below that. And in short order, you're going to see this
black residues, right? Yeah.
That soot mark. And then just wipe your finger on that soot mark and you could smell it. And so if you're drawing that flame into your joint as you're lighting your joint, you're contaminating the flavor of your joint. So what we do and how we train people through the Gangier program is when lighting a joint, we prefer to toast the very tip of it, just like they do with cigars, for the very same reasons. Cigar smokers they're doing it for the flavor, and they're looking to preserve that flavor. And that begins with how you ignite it and what you're using to ignite. Beyond that, the joint itself is, unlike many ways of smoking weed, unlike a bong or a pipe, the joint is uniquely a method of combustion, obviously, but it's also a method of vaporization. Think about it. If you're drawing that hot air and smoke through the joint, that cherry at the end, the herb, the uncombusted herb, just to the side of that cherry, just to the inside of that cherry, as that hot air and smoke is coming through, some of that is getting vaporized. Some of those volatile compounds, some of those flavors, those aromatic compounds. So depending on how hard you draw on that joint and how long you draw on that joint, you could really pre-vaporize out a lot of that material before you've ever combusted it. If you ever smoked the first half of a joint and it tastes great and the second half just tastes like crap, very possibly it's how the joint was smoked.
Very interesting. Because, you know, what you're doing is a lot of those oils are releasing, right? They're vaporizing just from the hot air going through the joint.
Getting that hot temperature. Like, you know, that we all know that guy that takes the longest, hardest drag you can take.
Right.
The joint's going around the circle.
And he hands you a roach, right?
You're puffed up and, right? Yeah. Everybody after that person gets a lesser experience because that guy pre-vaporized out a lot of the volatile compounds. You know, cigar smokers, they're taking these light puffs as they're drawing. It's all about the heat management, trying to mitigate that heat management as you're consuming.
Right. Well, we have to vaporize this segment. So I'm going to go for another break and come back with Derek Gilman.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Back again with Derek Gilman. Derek, when I began smoking weed, I recollect that most cannabis consumers smoked joints. There were also some brass pipes and occasional bamboo bong and these small round joint stones with a hole going through where you'd place your doobie. And that was generally about it. However, I hear that you actually have century-old original Dankster smoking implements. Can you give us the 411 on that 420?
Absolutely. So we just talked about lighting a joint and being mindful of the ignition source. So generally, I use matches to light my joints. I have found some Strike Anywhere matches that work well with what are known as match safes. So before lighters were invented, matches were the form of making fire, and people needed a means to carry matches around with them. And so there's tools that are known as match safes. They're also called Vestas. So these are small. They look like they're like the size of a lighter or the size of a Zippo, a similar sort of shape and design with that cap that flips up on the top, except these are hollow inside and they hold matches. They typically have a striker on the side of the safe so that you could strike your match and light it. And these are very cool. These were manufactured from about the mid-1800s all the way through the 1920s when lighters were invented and the matches kind of began to phase out a little bit. They come in all sorts of styles, shapes, sizes, materials, from silver to gold. Very cool tools. Another great tool, you mentioned holders. There's tools that are called finger ring cigarette holders. And these were popular in the 1920s. People were going to lots of formal events back then. They were wearing gloves on their hands, and they were doing lots of cigarette smoking. They discovered very quickly that the cigarettes would stain these white gloves they were wearing. So the finger ring cigarette holder was invented. And it's as it's named, is a ring, and there's these two posts that come off the ring, and these two posts form a clamp that you could clamp your now joint into and wear it on your finger. Hands-free joint smoking. Those were also made in lots of different materials and designs. Sometimes there's little animals on them. What I love about being mindful about the tools that you're using, it's genuinely a way to personalize your consumption experience and ultimately elevate your enjoyment of the experience along the way. So for me, it's antiques. For somebody else, it could be something vintage from the 70s or maybe something more contemporary. But just being mindful of those choices, you could really start to have some fun and personalize your experience and kind of show your own personality through the process.
We have about a little under 4 minutes left. Quickly, Ganjay has three levels of trade certifications, including one for business. What does the business certification cover?
So the business, there's no difference in the business certification per se. There's only two levels to the Ganjay certification. Our Ganjay product specialist is our introductory level one. And then we have our certified Ganjay, which is our level two. The business offerings that you see on our website are effectively B2B discounts for larger groups and for cannabis companies.
Can you touch on the Ganjay Council?
The Ganjay Council. So in developing this program, I realized very quickly that I did not have all the knowledge that I wanted to include in this program. However, I knew the people that did. And so effectively, we reached out and we formed the Ganjay Council, which is 18 industry experts that are recognized and respected and have a combined experience of over 600 years amongst all of them. So I brought in the scientists, okay? I brought in Dr. Jeffrey Raber. I brought in Josh Werzer and Alec Dixon from SC Labs. We brought in the genetics experts in Mel Frank, legendary Mel Frank, along with Kevin Jodry. We brought in the cultivation experts from Swami Chaitanya, Wendy Kornberg. We brought in the concentrate experts. We brought in Frenchie Cannoli and Nicotti. And so each of these experts brought in their knowledge and expertise in these very specific areas of cannabis and very specific topics to round out our overall curriculum to ensure that it was both broad and deep.
Very, very quickly, because we have about a minute left. How can people follow Ganjay, and what final thoughts you want to leave us with?
We are on all the social channels. It's at the Ganjay on Instagram. We're on LinkedIn as well. Final thoughts on Ganjay? Look into it. Look into what it's about. If something that you learned through today's conversation sparked your curiosity and interest, go to ganjay.com and just look into the program. Ask around. There's many people on Instagram that have Ganjay in their handle on Instagram that are either students in the program or graduates of the program. And so rather than, you know, hear it from me and me say, oh, it's the greatest thing, go reach out. Find somebody who's been through the program and hear it from them firsthand. And I guarantee they're going to relay an exceptionally positive experience.
Derek Gilman from Ganjay, you know, what you're doing is really great. You have a brick and mortar location, but people can do online courses. Is that right?
So the program, our level one Ganjay product specialist, is exclusively online. It's about a 10-hour program. And then our certified level has about 35 hours of online content. Okay. There's a 2-day in-person hands-on training here in Southern Humboldt at the Ganjay campus. And then there's 3 exams you got to take in order to become certified. We assure that you have both the knowledge and skill set.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking time out to be on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Vivian.
You bet. The Hemp Present intro music is 7 Mile Beach by Joanne Ram, and the outro music is Take Back the Plant by Sticker Bush. See you next time. Marijuana!